Hello everyone and welcome to the China Smart State podcast. My name is Linda van der Horst and I'm joined here today by Julia Vo, who is a cyber fellow at the Harvard Belfer Center, amongst many other things. She's also the cyber and tech strategy policy lead at HP. She's doing a PhD in geopolitics and technical standards. She has also lived in China for 7 years whilst working for the British government. But today, Julia will be speaking to us as the cyber fellow at Harvard and not in any other capacity. That is actually also true for myself. I'm a PhD candidate at Leiden University, and I also work for the Dutch MFA, but today I'm doing this interview in my personal capacity as a PhD researcher. Welcome, Julia.
Hi, Linda. Really excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Today we're not having our regular host Rogier here, but I'm happy to talk to you directly about your work on the National Cyber Power Index at Harvard. Tell me something about this report. You first did it in 2020, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we published our report in 2020 and it measures the cyber power of about 30 countries. And at the time that we published it, it was one of the first index that covered so many countries and also considered cyber power in a more holistic way.
Right. What is cyber power anyways?
So for us, cyber power is multifaceted. The reason why we did it thinking about this in 2019 is because a lot of the conversations around cyber power focused on destructive offensive capabilities. But we knew that there was more that countries, national governments were doing to kind of harness digital capabilities. There's also the element of cybersecurity. There's the commercial angle, why do they care about cyber norms? And we wanted to reflect all of these kind of efforts in one measure, because for us, you don't need to be the strongest kind of offensive actor in order to get what you want and influence other people in cyber realms.
What is offensive capabilities? What are we talking about?
That's a good question. So here, what we're talking about is disabling an adversary's infrastructure or attacks, like cyber attacks, kind of ransomware, DDoS attacks. And, when we're thinking about, we want to consider other things, like how well defended, for example, mm-hmm. is a country's critical national infrastructure? Have they got the strategies and organizations in place to kind of build their resilience in cyberspace? And also, what are they doing in terms of technology? Are they influential in terms of their tech companies? Have they got very strong trading relationships with other countries? Are they influencing norms, at the UN or through technical standards? So there are lots of different components of it that we wanted to include.
Right, so you're looking at the broad, holistic range of what cyber power means.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you did the cyber power index back in 2020, obviously, you said we don't want to look at only the offensive. Was there any surprising outcome of that report?
Yeah. So firstly, also, I should say that I didn't do all this research myself. It was me and part of an amazing team of six of us. So Irfan Hamani, Dan Cassidy, Simon Jones, Winona DeSombra, and Nina Swashenbach. It was a real kind of people from all different perspectives, academia, cyber threat intel, defense, digital policy. And, when we put all of our heads together, we put together this ranking, I think there were definitely some surprises. So I think one of the biggest surprises was that for many people who are maybe not so familiar with states and what they're doing in cyberspace is how highly the Netherlands ranked. So I think they came in fifth in our ranking for overall kind of cyber comprehensiveness. Number one was the US, then it was China, then it was the UK, then it was Russia. Mm-hmm. And then we had the Netherlands in fifth. Another surprise, I think, for many people was that Israel wasn't that high up. And this is also to do with our methodology. We rely on open source data and public government documents, and for some countries like Israel are not so transparent in their intentions in cyberspace. So for us, in terms of understanding a country's intentions and how they're applying cyber capabilities to achieve their national objectives, it's not clear. Mm-hmm. So because of that, on our ranking, they wouldn't score that highly.
So is it also that some countries would rather remain, intransparent and secretive about it, so that that might be a limitation of your research?
Absolutely, yeah, that's certainly a limitation of our research. You know, it's one thing is that we did something, I think, novel and useful to the field in terms of shining a light on different countries, building a broader range of cyber capabilities. But we depend on open source data, publicly available documents. And so cyber capabilities are very complex. Trying to measure something like that is also very difficult. And so we're trying to, it is a little bit of art and not like pure science, but I think it helps to show all the different actors. It really highlights the kind of all of nation approach that countries are taking, and how it's really important to not just focus on attacks but other areas under state control.
Right. So this is a podcast obviously about China, so I want to pivot to the China angle. I mean, China has articulated in its policy documents, amongst which, you know, the informatization strategy, that it wants to be a comprehensive and global cyber power. You say that China does rank in the top five countries in your index. How do you understand China's cyber power? Is it mostly offensive capabilities? How does it score on all the other aspects?
At the time when we were putting together this methodology and ranking the countries, people were already talking about how China is like a near peer competitor to the US. Mm-hmm. If anything, our kind of comprehensive approach to this measuring of cyber power kind of demonstrated that, because we have 8 different areas in which a country can build its capabilities. And in pretty much all of the areas, China was like neck and neck with the US. So for us, it shows that it's a comprehensive cyber power. And it has, as you say, been pretty transparent about its intentions, not only to be a cyber superpower, but also to be a technological leader in a number of areas. And I mean, that cyber superpower policy document, I think, was first seen maybe 8 years ago in 2014. So it was kind of like not surprising. And if anything, in addition to China's demonstrated capabilities in terms of cyber espionage, we also know that a number of its countries are like the largest in the world, like tech leaders, for example, Huawei, although this has obviously been affected recently with the entity list. And we also know that it is really trying to put its vision out in the world of how the internet should be governed. It has a very different approach from the US and its allies. We also know in recent years how it has been trying to influence technical standards, and that has been like a massive area that has caught the attention of a lot of the Western governments. So in conclusion, China is a really comprehensive cyber power, and it, like, from our ranking, it ranks second to the US. There is still a bit of a gap in between both countries, but like compared to the rest of the world, it is like far ahead.
Do other countries look at China's vision on cyber power, and do you see that reflected in how in the past few years maybe other countries have looked to China's vision on like becoming a superpower, or like scoring in the holistic sense in the all of nation approach? Or is that because of China, or is it because they realize that it's not just about the offensive side, it's like a holistic all-of-government approach?
Yeah, well, I wonder if it's like... I wouldn't say it was because of China. I would say that just generally national governments, and what we can see in recent years is they've started releasing either more comprehensive, like, high-level strategies on how to harness, like, all-of-nation capabilities, or they're releasing more strategies, for example, standards development, technological development, like digital policy kind of stuff. And so, if anything, it seems that more national governments are seeing the potential here and are also like not only focusing domestically but thinking how they can work more closely with allies in international forum to project their vision of internet governance. Mm-hmm. And like also kind of secure like commercial advantages for their technology companies. And I think we've really seen this like since 2020 and the election of Biden, and like the US has kind of returned to wanting to participate with allies and like mini-lateralism. So like what we've seen, I think, since 2020 on the tech international diplomacy front is like commitments at the G7 to work more closely on tech standards. We've seen the Quad saying that they're going to work on tech standards too. And like, for example, the US EU Trade and Technology Council, also around standards, and people are national governments are trying to somehow build a coalition to address China's huge influence in this area.
But that's very US-centric, right?
Yeah.
How about the Chinese-centric or Sino-centric coalition building around what it means to be a cyber power?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so I don't know if they're kind of cooperating more with other countries to like for its own kind of cyber power. I know, for example, in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, they've always had a little strand of cyber. In that, we can see that, you know, that it's a huge kind of technology kind of trading partner, and it has strong relationships with a lot of countries in its region. But I don't know if I would say that it has been working with other countries in particular to enhance its personal cyber power. Although I would say that, you know, it has been quite effective in some, for example, the International Telecommunications Union in building coalitions with countries outside of the region, like in Africa, and also other kind of certain select kind of European countries. And also the US on certain issues. So it's not like there's like a very, I mean, obviously there's a difference in the vision of overall how the internet should be governed, but there does seem to be some pockets of areas where it's also working closely with US and allies, and also building strong coalitions in the developing world.
Right. So I heard that you're building, you're compiling a new report, a new index. What are the big changes there, and how is China, what can we expect from China in that new assessment?
So I'm going to keep stum on the actual rankings of the new paper, which will be out this summer. But I think like one of the things that we would continue to reinforce is the importance of thinking of cyber power comprehensively. And I think that, you know, there are certainly movements in the index at the moment in terms of ranking, but for us, like, that's not the most important part. For us, that's like the way that we demonstrate how it's like the plus one of the overall framework. Like, I think what's more important to us is to have a more complete understanding of what a state can influence in order to achieve its objectives using cyber means. The ranking is the way for us to do this. And another thing I would want to say on the rankings, and if there are changes, is that it doesn't necessarily mean that if a country moves into a slightly lower position, that it has somehow depleted in its capabilities or got worse. What it means is that the other countries that have moved up have actually demonstrated capability in areas greater than it had the year before. Mm-hmm. So it's
more
kind
transparency
of
transparency about their capabilities in the open source.
Exactly, or like attributed attacks.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the difference. And we just want to make sure that people recognize this, because that's one of the challenges with our ranking.
Mm-hmm. So if we go back to you know, looking at the Cyber Power Index from the perspective of, you know, the unusual suspects, if you will, so the Netherlands and maybe other countries, like, what have you learned since the report came out? Like, was there a lot of interest from like middle countries who wanted to be included in this index? Has it meant for something for countries that, you know, appeared on this list and were surprised that they, you know, were so high up the ranking? Like, has it started some kind of awareness for third countries about this holistic perspective on cyber power?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I would say that, you know, one of the reasons why we thought that this whole project would be a good idea is because we knew of little pockets of information that were like around the web or like accessible to other people, but hadn't really been put into one space and like kind of made into like a coherent block of information that we could just draw insights on at a country level. And say, for example, people that are familiar with like the Netherlands capabilities probably would not be as surprised when they came up so highly in the ranking. But I would say that by and large, the general global audience were not that familiar with the Netherlands' capability on a global stage. So that was kind of surprising to many. And yeah, on terms of like other kind of middle-sized countries that are not included in the index, there was a lot of interest, I think, to be included. But for us, there has to be like a threshold of data available. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there needs to be data available on 21 of the 30 countries that we include. We do use proxies in some situations. But, you know, for some countries, it just wasn't possible to include them in the index because of what's available on them. And that's the main reason. Also in terms of like resource and stuff, assessing 30 countries is a huge endeavor. And, you know, we had to draw the line somewhere. But, you know, I think this is just really the tip of the iceberg. And there's a lot more that can be done in terms of taking this research one step further, looking at other countries, considering what else we can include in the index, using the data available to us. And so I think it's like a really exciting place to be, and hopefully it will encourage a lot more researchers to dig into the concept more deeply and, you know, just kind of add to the body of work here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ideally, after this report comes out in 2021, it becomes it's sort of the start of a proliferation of new ideas on how to engage with this concept of cyber power, and that's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really like a very rich field. There's a huge amount to do. There are lots of really like great people that have already given us some like good feedback at the government level, in academia, in industry, in intelligence. Mm-hmm. It's like really, I think, sparked an important debate and a really interesting discussion. And I think that, you know, there's one of the differences, the fact that our index has changed or has been evolving over the past 2 years, I think is just testament to the fact that it is an evolving concept, and I don't think that cyber power is going to remain like a static concept. And also in terms of availability of data to measure it, that is also going to change too. And that's a good thing, because it's very hard in this space to get the data to better understand what's going on.
If we take this cyber power index, what lessons can we draw as China scholars or experts on China, or what you will, on what the cyber power index means on how we look at China's cyber power?
So I think, like, you know, before we came out with this, China was definitely listed as one of the superpowers, and it was mainly because of its espionage efforts to steal intellectual property. And I think that one of the key takeaways for China scholars when looking at the cyber power index is looking at all the different components and areas that the Chinese government and Chinese industry is influencing that increases its overall ability to influence global cyber norms, international trade, discussions around kind of regulations regionally and internationally around like data flows, its partnerships with other countries, the work it's doing on technical standards, whether like its level of cybersecurity domestically, and not just the kind of destructive offensive component, which is what dominated most discussions a couple of years ago.
Thank you. Well, I'm really looking forward to the report, and I maybe we should have another discussion when it comes out, because then you can maybe talk a little bit more about all those exciting and juicy bits that might be in the report. So I hope to see you again on our podcast at some point. And thank you for listening to us today. We'll be back next time with Rogier again. Thank you for coming today.
Thanks, Linda. It was great talking to you. It'll be great to speak to you next time.